Hello, I'm Bill Mitchell, and I've loved 3CR ever since it began broadcasting in 1976. To let you know who you're dealing with here, I work as a Professor of Economics at the Universities of Newcastle and Helsinki, and I'm also an International Professorial Fellow at Kyoto University in Japan. I'm one of the founders of modern monetary theory, and I'm really grateful to Anne and Kevin for this program, which will advance our collective understanding of economic matters and how they impact on our daily lives. In this regular segment, I aim to discuss these matters and help increase your economic literacy and equip you with knowledge so that you'll be better able to assess statements you read or hear in the news from politicians, economists, corporate mouthpieces, and the like. I'll help you understand the fictional world that mainstream economists have created, which serves to advance the interests of a small section of our society at the expense of most of us. More importantly, I will offer an alternative economic narrative based upon the reality that is before us. Achieving a better understanding of the capacities of our government and the consequences of using those capacities means you will ask different questions about economic policy and accept different answers. The aim is to move us all in a direction where we can achieve real change to advance societal well-being and jump off the train that is hurtling us all into a social and environmental abyss. When I was young, I loved listening to Letter from America from the English correspondent Alistair Cook, which was broadcast on the BBC's World Service every week. He would speak with a mellifluous tone on topical issues in the US and regularly interweaved interesting anecdotes laced with humour or sentiment to ram home his points. As a youngster, I was entranced by radio in general and this program specifically. It proved to be the longest running speech radio segment hosted by one individual in history, running from 1946 to 2004. Alistair Cook died in March 2004, just after illness forced his retirement from his program. I'm not sure I can match his longevity in this series, but I'm going to give it a try. Cook is also relevant to our themes here because after he died and before he was cremated, thieves from a private for-profit tissue recovery firm removed his bones intending to on-sell them to bone graft companies. The crooks even altered his death certificate to mask the fact he died of cancer, which would have made his bones worthless for this purpose anyway. Fortunately, they were later caught and imprisoned, which is a rare outcome in the world of corporate crime and fraud. But what it signals is that decision making that is driven by a profit motive is rarely going to lead to outcomes that benefit the many. Such decisions benefit the few for sure, but often and usually are at the expense of the rest of us and the environment that we rely on for our well-being. So why are we calling this segment A Letter from the Cape? Well, as I unpack the topical issues about society and economics for you, I want to create a sense of hope rather than despair. The topics we will talk about, poverty, unemployment, overdevelopment, real wage cuts, corporate greed, environmental decay and more, typically leave us in a state of anxiety and a deep uncertainty about our own futures. The founder of the American Social Security System, Arthur Altemeyer, said that what motivates us to high endeavour is hope, not fear. In the aftermath of the Great Depression of the 1930s, which had ravaged the prosperity of communities and left the disadvantaged in abject poverty, Altemeyer fought hard to create even a minimalist system of social protection in the US, because he thought that Social Security substitutes hope for fear. I am not about to say that the topics we will discuss should be made light of as we top up our glasses and toast our good fortune? Hardly. But change can occur if we come together armed with knowledge and demand that it happens. The Cape is a property development at Cape Patterson, about 130 kilometres southeast of Melbourne on the beautiful Bunurong coast. Why would I want to mention that? Well, it is a property development like nothing else in Australia. It has been called Australia's most sustainable housing estate and evolved from an old dairy farm that had leached the land of its nutrients and created an environmental wasteland. Most developers, the profit-obsessed ones, would have put over 900 wall-to-wall homes on that site, a sea of roofs and concrete, a massive heat sink with no redeeming qualities. The Cape developers, however, are allowing a little over 200 houses, all of which will be close to 10 stars in energy efficiency and designed for the future to reduce the carbon footprint on the environment. The rest of the land is being restored with waterways, secure habitat areas for the native animals, walking and bike paths, and a huge community farm that will provide food security. MMT Ed, which is sponsoring this segment, will locate there soon. But the point is that the Cape is emblematic of an alternative approach to life, which not only enhances community well-being, but also as a guide to how we start dealing with the climate problems that the degradation of our land and water has created in search of private profit. The Cape symbolises for me the hope that can be engendered through change. This segment hopes to operate in that tradition. I'll be back next time to talk about MMT and the poly crisis. Good evening.